Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy serving this valley for decades. Finding the best in auto, home, life, business, and the best price for each. And updating always. Go to the best. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sean, welcome.
Hello, friend. Hope you had a great Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. I sat here and watched it rain. It was great.
I know. That was challenging.
Challenging?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. No offense, but we're going to go 5 days without rain. You're going to have some meteorologist say, or we're headed toward drought. Excuse me with your cry for help, okay?
Not going to happen. Hey, we're just kind of struck. We're stuck in a rut here. Chances of showers and thunderstorms pretty much every day this week. I think the only maybe 12-plus hour gap where it may not rain will be Wednesday night into Thursday.
It looks like Saturday's nice, though.
We'll take that. I know you will, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the big one. As Jack Hamp said, he says, this is the last one, right? And I said, yeah. He says, oh, good. He said, we're down to our last toaster. All right, so. So you bought five, right? He goes, yeah.
That's why I did not see that specific appliance in the gift registry. Nope, that's covered. We're good.
Well, it's not there because they know darn well who's going to supply it.
Toaster. No, thanks. I'm fine.
Well, Brett Beiler is going to join us on the show today after Selins Grove won the state championship. Does that mean we have to play the ending again?
If you want. That doesn't matter to me.
Because I thought Ray was brilliant.
Yes, fact, I know, do too.
There are many times where the color analyst has to say they're state champions. I mean, screaming out, I've done it, I've called the state championship. I'm sorry, that's too personal, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And not
I could
only
have sworn
that,
it's what's going on the field, not there in the booth.
Not only that, but the incredible news that we're still in a state of shock over.
How about it?
Suit Light is engaged.
Put a ring on it. How about them apples?
I'm already getting texts as to how much is the rehearsal dinner. I said, aren't you going to pay for your guests?
Well, the reply I got back from you after I shared the news with you yesterday, I about fell off my chair in the living room while watching the Phillies game.
Oh, yeah. I had to go back and look at it. He gets breaking news. Suit Light is engaged. I texted him back, thanks. Does that mean we have to go? Oh, God. Pick a home football game. All right. So
3 words. Friday night discount.
They gave us a deal over at the VFW. Great.
Fire hall whoop-de-doo. Here we go. Keg's over in the corner.
Woo-hoo. Hey, congratulations. I think that's great.
We are happy for Daniel
very
and Cassie.
Happy.
We are.
I'm happy for Daniel. We'll discuss Cassie. I'm sure he's still out as to whether I'm happy for her or not. Okay, you do know that you're marrying into this family, right? The mom is incredible. Daniel's a pretty good guy. And there's the meddling father-in-law. Sorry, we don't make our banana bread that way. You just see it now. So, do they have a date?
I have not heard about a date at this point.
Because I know Roger found out from the billboard on Route 15.
There's already joking down the hall that Wendy's was going to be served for the rehearsal dinner.
Well, that, you know, let's be honest about it. All right. Considering on who has to pay for it,
yeah.
It's a possibility. It's a big week. Everybody can have doubles. But small Frosties.
The time of year, 50 cents a pop.
Oh. You and I will walk in there and go, I'd like a medium Frosty, please.
Make mine a double. Chop, chop.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, hey, congratulations. I think that's great.
We are happy for both of them.
And now I can see Captain Pace back and forth, thinking now about how he has to pay for some part of this.
You and I will be there, armed with toasters.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I can't believe you got two toasters. Where'd they come from? Well, he called the state championship game on Friday. He did a heck of a job.
He did.
I was talking to my good friend Gary Goloszewski on Saturday night, and Gary was listening to it because Gary recommended the John Urschel interview to a lot of people on the podcast. And John was awesome, of course. Yeah, which is what you expect John to be. You know, it's. Yeah, I feel so fortunate the people I get to meet and know in the course of my life and in my job. And John absolutely is one of them. And John was incredible. And Gary said he was listening to the Seelens Grove broadcast at the end of the game. And he said, you know, and he had complete detail. I mean, you know, you've met Gary, right? You've met Gary, haven't you?
I believe once, yes.
Gary is brilliant. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
King of the Goloszewski tailgate.
While he would like you to bill it that way, it's actually the Tom McGrath tailgate.
Oh, okay.
Managed by Gary Goloszewski.
Gotcha, okay. Have to look at the legal print next time.
Well, but here's the issue. His children are not enamored with the name of the tailgate. But that's a different issue. That's a different issue for a different time.
Right.
Gary is reciting to everybody at Tom and Julie's party on Saturday night, literally chapter and verse as to how the seventh inning played out.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm talking like in great detail. He was listening. He was driving back from Philadelphia. And you know, he's talking about it's 7-1, they give three runs, the bases are loaded, then finally they get the ground out to win it, the whole thing. And he says, I'm looking at the clock thinking, Steve said John Urschel's out at 3:35 and it's 3:31. I said, yeah. I said, I was thinking the same thing. Like, let's go here. We've got a guest at 3:35.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one concerned about that. So I made at least two more.
Well.
And John as well. So maybe four. So.
But the game was airing on Eagle 107.
Correct.
So we would have directed everybody there, but there was no need to. In the end, we got the call at the end of the game with Ray. yelling out that Seals Grove happened to be state baseball champs. Ray is the color analyst, but that's okay. Yeah. Didn't know that was his job. I thought it was the job of the other guy. But maybe because of the news of Sue Light, he was a little too overcome. Oh, geez. Let's see. Let's think. Who's going to be invited to this wedding? What we need to do is you and I need to formulate a guest list.
Okay.
That if we're going to go, they have to be there.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Right. I mean, I would assume Jerome Bettis is getting an invitation. All right, we'll come back.
Rod Woodson. Yeah, sure.
Rod Woodson, Jerome Bettis, Troy Polamalu.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do you spell Polamalu? Sending the invitations out now. Jerome Bettis. Who? Oh, and Chase Utley. Sage Karam.
That's probably the first, even before any Steeler, that would probably go to him first, I would think.
And Mario Andretti.
And probably Michael Andretti.
Yeah. Now, maybe they could be at the table with us.
That's a power table right there.
And we can engage in conversation and make them feel like it was worth going. I mean, does the suit have any brothers or sisters? Or is he an only child?
I believe he is an only child, just like me.
Okay. Well, I mean, the saying your family always was that they got it right the first time, so that was it.
Broke the mold? Okay. We'll roll with that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you might as well roll with that.
Yeah, been doing that since 66, yes.
I'm trying to think whether I can roll it over into this one or not. Well, I think it's exciting news.
It is.
Yeah. And for Cassie's sake, I hope it's a really long-term engagement. All right, so we'll come back. We're going to have to meet her. I mean, it's not a question of whether we approve or not. We already know we approve. It's whether or not we can talk to her long enough to have her think about this. Just remember, you're not just marrying him, you're marrying his family. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, how are you? It's like, oh God, run. No, it's great news. I thought it was a legitimate question.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Thanks. Does that mean we have to go? I mean, that's a legit question, don't you think?
Yeah.
I already talked to James Franklin this morning, and I already told him to cancel the two bye weeks. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
We got a lot going on in the show today. Great to have you with us. Seals Grove coach Brent Byler, who joined us before the game, said, I will be back next week because he was confident they're going to win. He will be back. He's back today. Then 406 Keith Smith, realgm.com, on the Raptors winning the title, Kawhi Leonard, and the big trade that sent Anthony Davis to the Lakers. LeVar Ball says they'll never win another championship. Okay. And Phil Steele on college football at 4:35. Tony Knopp is on the show tomorrow. Bob Buhner and the King will join us on Thursday. So That's what we have. The Gary Woodland's U.S. Open Championship yesterday was outstanding. What a finish by him. He never came remotely close to cracking. Right? I mean, never. And I'm talking about, not even close. That shot he made on 17 where he's on the green, but the green is an hourglass green. So you really can't putt to get the ball there. You've got to chip it. And he chipped it in such a way where he barely moved the grass. How good are you when you do that? Brooks Koepka played really, really well. And, you know, you got to catch a break every once in a while. Right? So now you get a little bit of tension. Koepka hits a fabulous shot into 18. Now, I'm trying to think how long this shot was. I want to say it was 220 yards. And he said, I probably used one club too many. 220, I'm hitting it. I'm hoping it rolls near the near the green. It hits the green and rolls it back. It's into the turf. Then he missed a 5.5-foot putt for birdie, which would have made it a one-shot lead. But with two shots, Woodland was able to play three irons into the green. And then he sunk the putt at the end. And, yeah, it, look, people are happy for him. Everybody will tell you that's around him. I mean, I've only been around him, I think, once ever. But people will tell you he's one of the good guys out there. You know, his wife had a miscarriage. She is now pregnant with twins. And you could just tell it's a very popular win by a guy that's always been a heck of a player. He's always been a guy I've always had on my list as somebody I thought, you know what, one day that guy could win a major because of his length. He's got really good touch for a guy that can hit the ball a mile. And he won. Now the only major left is the British Open. And that is going to be next month in Northern Ireland, Royal Portrush. Okay. Todd Gurley has arthritic component to his knee problem. Also, let's see. They're talking about who can now fit with the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So they're talking about who would fit. You know, like Terrence Ross, Marcus Morris, Darren Collison, Patrick Beverley, Danny Green, Rodney Hood, Seth Curry, not Steph, Seth, Reggie Bullock, DeMarcus Cousins, Trevor Ariza, Jeremy Lamb, Avery Bradley. Yeah. Lakers are now the 3-1 favorite to win the title, according to the sports books in Las Vegas.
I heard J.J. Redick, his name was kicked around, too.
Yeah, Redick, yep. And Redick would fit, by the way. Redick would fit. And the reason I think Redick would fit is that you need to bring in components that are parts. You already have the stars that can carry it. And what's really important is that Anthony Davis is not a guy that requires having the ball until it's time to finish. Right? For example, when LeBron James and Kyrie Irving were together in Cleveland, they were two guys that really played better when they had the ball in their hands. All right? Neither one of them is really great off the ball offensively because they're always wanting the ball. Anthony Davis isn't like that. That's why he and LeBron, I think, are going to work pretty well together. He said he would be back on the show. And Brent Beiler is absolutely back on the show. Why? Selinz Grove won the state championship on Friday at Medler Field, Lebronto Park. They made it interesting. Just remember, Brent, you volunteered to coach 15 to 18-year-olds. So if you're going to do that, it's going to end up being interesting. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Monday show, as always, brought to you by our great friends, the Real Pros at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance need may be, they'll find you exactly the right insurance so you're covered. They'll also find you the best price. They'll update policies, and if there's ever a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them. They're your partner. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. With that, we welcome in the head baseball coach of the state baseball champions, the Selins Grove Seals, Brent Beiler. Brent, welcome back to the show. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad we could bring a championship home here to Selins Grove and get back on here to radio and talk to all the listeners here.
Let's talk about the listeners that came out, especially to be there when you arrived back home. What was that experience like on Friday night?
Oh, that was fantastic. I just throughout the entire game, looking at all the fans in the crowd, and I feel pretty sure and pretty confident that we had the most fans there of any classification of any team that was there that day. And then to come home to a fantastic parade, it was really awesome to see all the support that the community gave us, and to go down through the main street there in the fire trucks, I could tell the boys were just beaming. It was just really an awesome feeling.
All right, so in the seventh inning.
Seven innings.
Well, that's my good friend Gary Goloshevsky, who was listening to it driving back from Philadelphia from work. Saturday night is telling a group of people at a party here in State College, chapter and verse about how your seventh inning played out. And as he's describing it, I got worried. And I already know who won.
Well, I even watched it back on PCN, and it's like I got nervous all over again, even though I knew the outcome.
You build a 7-1 lead. Now, look, nothing's ever safe. Baseball's not a game of time. But what were you thinking watching this?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're up 7-1. I got Blaze Eiders on the mound. I got
who was terrific all day, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Who was terrific all day, by the way, for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And he was. And, you know, just going into that last inning, even the inning before, in the sixth inning, I'm thinking, oh, we just need six more outs. Just six more outs. And our pitching staff is certainly notorious for holding the batters at bay there, and with six runs to spare, I was feeling pretty good. But of course, as everyone knows, that seventh inning didn't work out exactly the way we had hoped it would. The result, of course, did.
And then you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Blaze there was running at the end of his pitch count, and to get the bases loaded there a little bit. I think everyone was a little bit on edge. The players knew all we needed to do was get three outs there in that last inning, and I think the pressure got to us a little bit. And the reality of hey, we could be state champs here. All we got to do is get three outs.
And then you changed. You went younger on the mound. And to do something like that, you have to have look, you have a trust is built by what you, the manager, the coach, whatever it may be. Trust is built by the body work during the season. You made that move based on trust.
I did. And Ryan Reich, he pitched in the final six outs in the game before against Hamburg. He was dynamite there under pressure situation. He pitched the final four outs against Springfield, where he relieved Blaze in that game as well. He pitched the final two outs in our district championship game. He certainly built the trust that he's the man to do the job here, and I no doubt that was the guy I was going to go to in that situation. All we had to do was just get a few outs there, and you know. the way it unfolded, I think he was a little nervous. He hit that first batter there, and I think everyone just kind of felt, oh boy, here we go. But, yeah. But even after that happened, once he got that first strikeout, I was very confident. Okay, Ryan will settle in there, and he'll get the job done.
Usually with a really good pitcher out there, if you don't get them early, you don't get them at all. And he gave up the one run in the first inning, and then that was it for a long period of time. Then you scored eventually seven. You already, as you pointed out to us on Thursday, you have a pretty loose team to begin with. In an intense situation like that, what did the 7-1 part mean to relax them?
I think it meant a lot. It certainly relaxed me. even when we went up 2-1, me and the other coaches were talking after the game was over. I mean, after we went up 2-1, you know, as dynamite as our pitching staff has been, it was almost like, okay, we're just playing another baseball game. It's just another baseball
right.
game. We kind of cruised through those middle innings there a little bit. And then when the fifth inning unfolded, and, you know, Evan Hoke leads off that inning with a hit. Ben Heim gets that bunt down. They had some trouble fielding that bunt, and then we started scoring some runs and put five runs up on the board. About the middle of that inning, I thought, this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning our pitchers can hold these guys. We're going to win this thing. And I think it kind of felt that way across the board. You know, I came in the dugout. The guys were excited, but you could kind of sense we still have a job to do. We still got six more outs to do here. And I think the reality started sitting in there. And then halfway through the seventh inning, there was certainly a pause there. That wow, maybe we could actually lose the reality of winning the championship. But the guys buckled down and got the job done there at the end.
There are a variety of ways to win. One of them in baseball is you can win sometimes using small ball. How effective was small ball for you during the course of the season?
It's interesting you ask that. Small ball has its time and it has its place in a particular team and in a particular situation. And we really didn't start executing fully the idea of small ball until probably the last third of the season. We were not a potent offense. We didn't have the numbers. I mean, every team we faced had better offensive numbers than what we had. And I think it just started when we started beating some of these big-name teams with the small ball. It started trickling down to everyone in that lineup. Like, if a coach calls upon me to bunt, I'm going to get the bunt down. And I know sometimes it's hard to sell that idea to a high school player where, you know, sometimes I know in the past, you know, other teams maybe have a dynamite hitter and it's like, coach, are you going to bunt me? I'm hitting, you know, 410 or something, but this team, I think, really embraced that. In fact, it was almost to the point where when they got the bunt, it was almost like a signal of pride, like when they got the bunt signed. Almost like a signal of pride. Like, you know what? I'm going to get sacked this bunt down. The next guy behind me is going to hit him around. And the players really started embracing that last fourth or last third of the season. We bunted two or three times in every single game there, those last six games. And it just goes to show you that if you have a team that believes in that and believes in execution, a lot of good things have happened. We just had to make sure we put the ball in play, and that's exactly what these boys did.
A lot of teams I've been around, and obviously I've been around more in the professional level, but look, they'll start out in the cage, they'll put down a couple bunts just to get some contact usually, then swing away. How did you handle that part of it in the cage? Do you want to put down a couple of bunts just to get contact, or as the season went along and they started embracing it, they became more serious about, hey, look, give me three or four here so I get this right?
Well, right before the playoffs started, I knew we had an issue. We actually ended the regular season with three losses right in a row.
Right.
That's a heck of a way to end a regular season.
That really builds the momentum for the championship.
yeah. Heading right into the championship, we lose the last three games.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy. But, you know, but we did play five games in 4 days, so that certainly had its wear on us. But I know the practice right after that, I sat down and talked to the guys, and I said, guys, we have a real problem. We have a real problem here. We, we're not putting the ball in play enough. We're striking out too much, which we were improving as the year went on. I said, but we're popping up way too much, and we got to get the bunts down because we had a couple failed execution type plays there in those three losses. And so our practice actually went to the cages. I decided at that point we're not going to hit in the field anymore. You know, the guys were hitting on the field. They were trying to jack it out of our small park. We kind of have a small park there. And so we went to the cages. We went off the tee, and we just tried to hit the back of the cage right off the tee and make sure they're not lifting it. So we were focusing on not popping up. The next part was we pulled out the machine, and we had each guy bunt 10 times, and they had to get the bunts down. We were documenting everything on how successful they were, kind of making like a little competition. And we did that for 2-3 days in a row. And then there was a point where we were out in the field, and we were counting. We did hit in the field then, I guess. We did one time. And then we were counting, you know, if they had pop-ups, they actually had to give us some laps. Well, they didn't like that so much. but you know, we didn't do it again. We only did that one practice. But I think they understood the idea behind it, where you got to put the ball on the ground. You got to get the bunts down. And we had three very meaningful practices there after those three losses. And it went to a 6-0 way to end the season there. And I think that really helped us, and the boys really bought into it.
Yeah, look, I always laugh when I hear somebody say, it's good they lost that game. You know, they'll lock in. Like, no losses are good. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. Okay, if you're going to show up, the object's to win. I'd rather be 24-0 with a feeling of invincibility. Okay, but in reality, did you see a different concentration level because they weren't having success? Thus, your message of concentration may have had more open ears.
I think so. I do. I think they understood we were popping up too much. We go back and look at the stats and just really focus on, instead of trying to mash out of the park all the time, you know, just make good solid contact, hit the ball on the ground. Our leadoff hitter Josh Nyland did a real nice job making that transition because he was popping up quite a bit. Towards the end of the season, man, he had a dynamite postseason. Just punching the ball through short and third base, and I know you said no loss is good, but it'd be certainly tragic if you don't learn from a loss. And I think our boys did that. They really responded well and learned from their mistakes, and put together one heck of a run.
Yeah, that's what I always say about a series. For example, like, you know, I don't care if it's the NBA, NHL, baseball. Even the winning team is trying to convey, adjustments. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we're good. It's like, yeah, it's the team that loses. Okay, what adjustments do we have to make? Yeah.
Right.
I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about player.
That seems a little more potently if you coming off a loss, no doubt. Because if you win, like you said, Well, what's the problem? We won.
yeah, there's no issue here. It's all good. We're we'll adjust. I got you covered.
So maybe that'll
when it comes to leader. Yeah, it could be. Well, all I know is I'm talking to the state championship coach right now, so something good happened.
I wouldn't change a thing, Steve. Nothing. I wouldn't change anything.
Exactly. Brian, Brett, you're exactly right, because it fell into place the way you needed to in the end. What kind of leadership did you get? Give me a couple guys that you knew you could deliver a message to that then would deliver the message when you weren't around.
Well, I think Blaze Leiders plays a big role in that. I mean, he's a huge personality out there. If he buys into it, I think he can pass that along. There's a couple other guys that buy into it with their actions. You know, Logan Heil's one of those guys, too. He leads by example. Logan doesn't always have a lot of things to say. He's more of a quiet guy, but obviously he leads by example in the success that he had this year with pitching and just getting the job done under pressure. Even when there was a couple errors around him, he didn't put anybody down ever. He always toted our defense and gave them kudos. So, I mean, those two guys right there, they led so differently. just led so differently, and it was just a nice mix. I know even in that last inning there, Blaze Leiters went out and talked to Ryan Reich somewhere in the middle of all that craziness. And I think I think that settled him down. I do. You know, Blaze came out and talked to the freshman.
Yeah.
He said something I didn't even realize. I watched it on the playback there on the PCN. I was too busy trying to pull my heart out of my throat. I didn't even realize that Blaze was out there talking to him. But I saw that later. I thought, you know, that was probably a good job on his part. You know, just to kind of calm him down out there. You're getting words of advice from the senior, and now it's your turn. And it seemed like Ryan did, you know, even pitch better after that. So yeah, we certainly have some leaders there on this team.
Has it sunk into you 72 hours later that you're the head coach of the state champions?
I don't know. it's pretty awesome. I wake up and that's the first thing I think of, and I mean the vibe that's going through the school. I stopped in at school today, talked to our athletic director Justin Simpson, and just it's just exploding everywhere. So no one's going to let me forget it. Put it that way, and the reality of being a state champion here and being the head coach of that of such quality boys on this team. Yeah, it's a real honor. It really is. It really is. And I just can't thank the guys enough for accomplishing everything that they've done. I think it has sunk in, and it's just a wonderful feeling. And the community has just done an outstanding job of not letting anybody forget it.
Well, Sean, go ahead. Play the end for him. I don't know if he's heard the radio call yet, but play the end for him here.
Okay.
Wind up and the pitch. Swung on. Ground ball. Sean's got it. Sean fires it to first.
Game over! State champion Selins Grove seals.
The Seals hang on and win it 7-4 in the state championship. Time to line up the parade and get ready to hang another championship banner in the gym.
Oh, wow.
They could not have. Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah, and what gets me is listen how loud the crowd is in the background. I mean, that really struck me how loud the crowd was in the background. That was phenomenal.
It gave me chills.
Well, you know what? Obviously, the young men end up doing the job. They're the ones that have to execute, do the job. But they could not have asked for a better head coach. They could not ask for a better staff. And congratulations to you, your staff, your players, your athletic department, and the school support for everything you accomplished this year. It is something that people here will never forget. And 100 years from now, when they're standing in there, they'll see that banner, and you will know darn well your descendants will look at that and say, you know what? He coached them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's really quite an honor. It really is.
Well, we're thrilled you took the time to talk with us before. We're thrilled you took the time to talk with us today. Means a lot to us. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it greatly.
All right. Brent Beiler, head baseball coach of the state champion, Selins Grove Seals. Next half hour, we'll talk with Keith Smith, RealGM.com, on the big Lakers trade with the Pelicans, and also on Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, and then Phil Steele on college football. Final half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event.
Wanna see ya in a Kia.
summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.